Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
I like sucking.
Nah, nigga.
Legit bad podcast.
Mega doo-doo.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to Costco. I love you.
Gay Hitler.
Oh, what I'm saying!
Welcome back to Legit Bat. I'm Joe, Jen's with me, and Ben's with me, and this is a conversation we had over on a brand new show called How the Hell Did We Wind Up Here? So go give him a follow and a listen. If you want to support the show, there's several ways you can do that. You can subscribe at Rockfin, you can leave us a review on Apple, and you can also go to purepetwellness.com and order some high-quality CBD for your pets or yourself. Thanks, and enjoy the show.
All right, welcome to the second ever episode of How the Hell Did We Wind Up Here? I'm going to let my guests introduce themselves in a minute. Just want to say thank you very much to them for hopping on. Been a big fan of you guys for quite a while. Listened to you guys, started listening a couple of years ago, and just really, you know, really like what you guys had to offer. And so, little bit of a fanboy here, geeking out, having you guys on, so I appreciate it. But we'll let you guys just kind of introduce yourself, and then we'll get going. So,
yeah, I'm Joe, and my wife Jen and my brother Ben are the co-hosts, and we basically just talk about whatever. Well, it started like that, and then it kind of, because it was 2020, it kind of devolved very quickly into politics and not really so much conspiracy theories as just questioning, you know, mainstream narratives, right, which is labeled now as conspiracy theory. So
at the time we were doing it, though, we were called conspiracy theorists,
right?
Totally. Right. And we weren't even trying to be that.
No, and I love that stuff, like the moon landing, all the classics, you know, Kennedy and 9/11. I love all that stuff, so we talked about it all. But as far as like getting lumped in with like QAnon or something, that's where we kind of were like, no, that's not what we're doing here.
We're Trump supporters. We're crazy right-wing Trump supporters, QAnon listening to psychos.
I always say I went from, we all kind of went from like hippie liberals like 10 years ago to alt-right adjacent neo-Nazi terrorists today. I don't know how that happened, but that's apparently what happened.
Well, the funny part about that, Joe, is that I went more from exactly what you just said in the latter to more of the former by doing this podcast.
Right.
You guys just got to come up with some sort of like cool acronym for it. You know, like instead of LGBTQ plus, you can be like N for Nazi, you know, B for like BB, like Bible bashing, Trump support, you know, TS, Trump support. We'll come up with something for you. You know, we'll use like every letter in the alphabet, maybe some of them twice. So
we already got LBP. We could just be LBP plus.
There we go.
That's the thing is, it's actually, if you take the vowels out, it's LGBT, and Corey, our listener Corey, pointed that out to me like early on, and I'm like, God damn it, I did not mean to do that. Not where just, I was going.
You're just the hipster version of it. You're doing it before it was cool.
Yeah.
So, all right.
We're missing all the other letters, though.
Right. So, I'd say for those of you who aren't familiar with the podcast, but this is only the second episode, so I'm sure everybody who may be listening probably isn't familiar. So the way it's kind of set up, the way you kind of want to do this is I want to give you guys the opportunity just to pick one, two, maybe three. Everybody kind of agrees that the world that we're in right now is just at a really sucky point, right? Like we can rail against it. But the opportunity to be able to come on, pick like two or three topics as far as this is why I think the world is in such a crappy place that it is. But here is also the reasons why. Here's what's kind of led up to it. Instead of just shouting out things like, oh, well, they're a Mason, or oh, the Queen's a lizard person, you know, to be able to let you be able to backtrack to it a little bit, be like, you know, I think AI is going to, for example, I think AI is going to be a big deal. But it's not something that just appeared. You know, we were dealing with this, you know, 30 years ago when we were playing video games, and then it transitioned to this and this and this and Microsoft Word and blah, blah, blah. And now we're to this point sort of thing. So, you know, more than anything else, I would kind of want to just have you guys on and just kind of, you know, shoot the breeze a little bit and just kind of talk about where the world's at today and what you think kind of led up to it. And if you have a solution for it in the end, then even better. If not, then we'll all just kind of commiserate together. So,
yeah, I mean, that's basically what we do anyway. We just make fun of the stupid shit going on.
Right.
In a nutshell, I guess the way I would think of it, and me and Ben are more biased on this because of our upbringing, but it started out like we grew up very religious and spiritual and all that. And so that was kind of framed our worldview like that, where this is a spiritual battle and it's God versus the devil. And that's the cause of everything going wrong. And it always seemed like kind of a reductive answer to me that's how, you know, that you'd base your whole worldview on that. But it's kind of come full circle in the last couple of years. And I'm like, man, they might be onto something there. I don't know if it's the Jesus God version that is portrayed in the Bible, but there's something like that, because everything kind of comes back to that. And when you're talking about AI, the AI thing seems like the latest vector of like, I don't know, demon infiltration, if you want to call it that. And these hot button words that people use like that, like demon or Satan or whatever, that's just an idea for what we're talking about. I'm not saying right. An actual entity named Satan that's pulling strings, but it's that kind of idea. And it's that's what I've come to lately, is that it is something like that. And I can't wrap my head around it, so I'm not going to pretend to know what I'm talking about, but that's just where my brain goes. I know Ben would probably say something similar, and actually you probably would too, huh?
Yeah, something definitely. Like that. Yeah, that was recent for me, within the last like year or so, where I got super religious. Not religious like crazy, just where I actually believe that God is really running things, and there is sort of this evil force on earth. And it sounds kind of kooky to say that, but it really makes sense. If this life is, you know, maybe a test or a playing ground per se, where we're here, where our soul can learn lessons, why would it be easy? It's supposed to be super challenging. So that's when I see all these things where it's like, yeah, the world's gone to shit, people are doing this. You have to just like glaze over that. Like, I don't want to say don't pay attention. Pay attention enough to make good choices and have discernment, but don't fall prey to it and let it ruin your life and, you know, control where you take your life from that point.
Well, and the idea that the world's gone to shit is probably a matter of perspective as well, because yeah. Jen always likes to say that the evil people and the Bill Gates and all these people we point fingers at are just like the necessary evils that are put here as, you know, the balancing force to, that's what makes the world goes, that polarity. And we talked about that actually recently, but what was I going to say before that? Oh, my brain farted. Ben, help. Help.
It's weird because I've gone from, when we started the podcast, having drifted away from the presentation, the way that God was presented for us. I had drifted away from that, but still retained this very kind of classic picture of who I thought God was. And I would say that I have now kind of jumped completely out of that circle, to where I don't know if God exists. And I'm okay saying that. It used to be that the idea of even me saying I don't know was terrifying, because I felt like I was forsaking this thing that if I didn't, I was going to go burn in hell. And now I've kind of gotten to a point where I go, maybe I've come full circle, kind of like Joe said, where maybe I'm approaching the idea of God's existence, but I'm approaching it in a completely different way than I had ever approached it before, where I'm approaching it as, maybe it's just not anything that I was told. Maybe take out the Bible and the idea of this mainstream God, the Father, Jesus Christ figure. And what is it? you know, I instead of even giving any kind of, you know, he or she or whatever the fuck it is to what God is, I do like the idea that God is the ethereal life form and energy that is goes through all of us and what we live on and what we provide, the unexplainable that everybody knows is there. You know, people talk about vibes or getting an energy off of something where the room got kind of tense and you feel these energies that are just exuding out of people. I think that that has more to do with what God is than this idea of an actual like patriarchal figure that created us and looks down on us and whatnot. Going to what's that?
Oh, I was going to say, like, when you say breaking your, you know, perspective from the Bible view of what that is, I think all those books, and this is heretical to say, of course, to a Christian, but I think all of those books, the Bible, the Quran, all these different like ancient texts are all just their own descriptions of the same thing.
I agree.
It's the 100%. Way that the people in that time and that culture portrayed how God, you know, showed himself to those people, and that's how they put it down on paper. So
I also
it was their way of explaining their world around them at that time, is
right. And I also subscribe to the theory, or at least entertain it. Maybe subscribe isn't the right word, but I also entertain the idea of that what Paul Wallace has brought up, where maybe they were all separate entities on a council. The idea that there was not, like, kind of like Zeus in Olympus, there may have been a head format, a chairman, if you will, but there were multiple gods as we saw them that kind of all worked together to make this fucking crazy machine go. And all of those different religions are because that god or that council, the way that they saw it, was how they wrote about it. I also entertain that idea. I don't know. I do think that how we got to where we are, just to kind of go to what you were talking about, is I think a big part of it lies within 800 to 1250 AD, when the Roman Catholic Church in the world as we knew it back then, other than indigenous places where none of that had anything to do with it, completely ruined everything that we know from prior history to that moment. I think that they laid the foundation for the Western world and the monstrosity that it is in that time frame. I think that between the Spanish Inquisition taking on the Vikings, the Crusades and the Holy Lands, I think that all of that, because religion was also law, they laid the framework between what we saw canonized in the Bible versus what was taken out. And a lot of what like Gnosticism talks about with the older texts that they go into, I think that a lot of that laid the foundation for how we view the world and also how we operate in it. These kind of standalone morals that everybody seems to have, even if they don't observe them, murder, life is sacred, all of these kind of things that we feel like are kind of built into us. I think a lot of that was built in that time frame by the Roman Catholic Church, and I think that in a lot of ways they've, you know, fucked it all up for us.
Thanks for bringing it back around. I was just about to do that. I was going to say, wow, we squirreled off really far there.
That's okay. You know, the funny thing is like everything kind of dovetails into this topic, is, you know, from people, everybody I've talked to, and, you know, it all dovetails into, you know, it doesn't matter what it is. We can talk technology, we can talk, you know, biblical, we can talk, it all kind of dovetails back into, it went squirrely sometime somewhere along the timeline. And, you know, kind of the same thing as like, there hasn't been anything new that was made, or a weapon that was made that hasn't been used to destroy a civilization. It's kind of the same thing with this stuff as well. It's like, just because it's new doesn't mean it was new at a time. Somebody who has the power to be able to take it and use it to their benefit is going to do that.
Yeah. And I think that's where I've come to too, is that since everything else, literally everything else in the world is a cycle, why would the rise and fall of things and, you know, not be, why would that be any different? It warped my head to think about it that way, instead of there was a start to time, there's going to be an end to time. And that's the biblical thing, you know, like started here, it's going to end here, and then we're going to go live with Jesus forever on streets of gold, which is a fucking weird thing to think about. But it seems more likely that it's just cycles that repeat themselves, and it looks different now than it did 2,000, 3,000 years ago, obviously, but there's always the rise and fall of empires. People are like, wow, this time really sucks. Like the Dark Ages, according to history, really fucking sucked for people. They were probably thinking it was the end times back then. And here we are still. So I just think it goes in cycles. And I really like the Vedic ideas that they're very long cycles, like the 26 year Yuga cycle or Yuga. Yuga cycles. And that makes sense to me, because then by the time you get to another 26,000 years, pretty much all remembrance of that time has been lost to history. So we can't even look back further than, I mean, they say they can, but I don't think we really know much past, you know, 6,000 to 8,000 years. They talk about these like Göbekli Tepe and all these sites that were, maybe they were a golden age. I don't know if that ever actually existed. There might be high points, but I don't think there was ever like a Atlantis golden age when everything was just amazing, because obviously that wasn't that amazing because it fell or whatever, you know.
Well, it's the same way along the lines of that quote unquote missing 1,000 years during the Dark Ages, if it was really missing, or if it just got added to our timeline at some point in time to make things even more convoluted and confused.
Well, and I know that Jen and I have agreed wholeheartedly on this, and I know others have as well, is the idea that, just to touch on what Joe said about it all being a cycle, there's nothing new. It's new to us, but the implementation is the same, whether it be the airplane dropping bombs, the trebuchet and other siege engines that conquered all these places. It's like, it's 100% narcissistic to think that we are not in the exact same place, just using a different tool to do the same goddamn thing. It's the fucking same. It's also narcissistic to believe that in everything that we can and can't see out there, we're the only ones that fucking matter. Like, there's other shit out there. We have no fucking idea what is out there. It's narcissistic to think that history won't repeat itself and that we're so important that we're the only things alive in this universe to also see this idea. Now, you mentioned the Dark Ages, the missing 1,000 years. It's called the Dark Ages for a reason, and it lands directly after and into and comes in at that exact point that I had mentioned earlier, because nobody knew what the fuck was going on. Everybody was illiterate. It was only for the clergy to be able to read. They controlled for hundreds of years the information from the past and what came into the present and soon the future. This is why I think that, yes, Joe, I don't think that there was a golden age on Earth where everything was hunky-dory, to use a mom phrase. I think that it was a point where it was a pinnacle civilization that was the opposite of the Dark Ages as far as we have known it in that history. Like, I don't think there was ever a golden age where there wasn't fucking wars and people blowing themselves up, and maybe they had weapons that we don't have. That's why we show them in movies. I don't fucking know. But I do think that there are, like you said, these high points throughout history, and there's a reason why we still talk about them. There's still legend about them. Like, we have no evidence of Atlantis at all, other than the fact that it's still a fucking legend that we all fucking talk about. So that does give a little bit of gravitas to the weight of the idea that there were these high points. Göbekli Tepe might be one of them. I don't know. But I think that we're in a high point as far as what's going to be remembered. And I think that that fall, that cycle, is about to fucking tip the scales, and we're going to be one of those lost civilization that gets remembered later on.
Yeah, I think too, you know, and this kind of goes along with everything, but the information that we're given, that we're allowed to know, is just, you know, it's a control mechanism more than anything else. You know, we'll give it. And going back to, so I grew up, I guess, like you guys, you know, if I grew up in the church, I grew up, you know, I was taught, instead of what it's like to be a good, you know, a good Christian, I was taught what it was like to be a good, you know, boy in the church that I grew up in, how not to embarrass my family, you know, things like that. And so I kind of, you know, as I've gotten older, I've realized that, you know, one, religion, Christianity, Mormonism, Catholicism, you know, what, Muslim, whatever, it's all a control mechanism. You know, whoever is up in the highest echelon of it is there just to tell you basically how to live your life. And two, the things that we think we know, we don't even really know. Going back to, you know, you're talking about the books of the Bible, like, we don't have anything even close to the original copies of what the books of the Bible are. You know, the copies we have were copied in like the 500s or the 300, 400s, 500s, 600s. So it's copies of copies of copies of copies, and knowing what's been changed or what hasn't been changed. There's just no, you know, even just the guys who wrote the books were not named Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? Like,
yeah, and they wrote them 40, 50 years after Jesus died. Like, that would be like me writing about something that happened in my 20s when I'm in my 60s and being like, this is definitely 100% what happened. There's no fucking way.
No,
I don't remember all that. I can't remember yesterday, for Christ's sake.
But the thing with technology is, we were talking a little bit, is it seems to let us be educated a little more, I think, than people even back in the 70s. You know, even when they're trying to, you know, look at these tablets or whatever it is that they're finding in clay pots or whatever, technology now helps them get a better understanding. But so for me, you know, the question when I ask, what are the things that, you know, has caused such a problem in the world today? For me, I always go back to the church, the invention of the church as a whole. I guess we can say like the Catholic Church or whatever, and to education, because I think those two really go, you know, they really go hand in hand. The Catholic Church tells you what you're supposed to believe, and the education system goes right along with it. So,
yeah, it's just training you to be a good little citizen that pays your taxes and saves up all your money so that when you die, you can pay more taxes, because there's death tax. And yeah, the whole set, if you objectively stand back and look at the system, it's so on its face stupid that I don't know how more people aren't. I mean, everybody's kind of aware of it, but everybody's so locked in because it's just the way things are. And it's really hard to break out of that. I say, tell Jen all the time, like, the way I want to live, which would be like out in the middle of nowhere with my own farm and stuff, that's expensive as fuck. There's no way the average person can do that anymore. And that's how every person used to live a couple hundred years ago. That was normal. And now you got to be rich to do that. It's crazy.
Dependent on the system now. They've gotten us so dependent. We have to get up. We have to go to work. We have to punch the clock. We have to get paid because we have to go to the store and then buy food.
And pay your taxes at the point of a gun. Yeah. And
yeah.
Ridiculous.
It's tough. I don't know how people do it. Even when I go to the feed store to get stuff for, you know, we're lucky enough to live on a little bit of land and, you know, have animals that, you know, help take care of us and all that. But even going to the feed store now to get the stuff that they need is just every time I go, prices are just up and up and up and up. So, but I think more people are starting to wake up to it, even if they don't realize necessarily what they're, you know, they may not plant their flag and go, I'm a flat earther now. But, you know, they are starting
to. Got to you.
I'm a flat earther before Bob. Now I don't know what I am, because I'm not a flat earther, but I'm not a glober either. I don't know what I am.
Exactly where we are.
Yeah. Maybe I'm just a simulation guy. Yeah, that's all this is. So, no, but
it doesn't matter what you are. Somebody's going to have a problem with it, and they're going to come bash on you in social media. Just fair warning.
Fair enough. I'm just waiting until I get shadow banned so I can you know, tell people.
Put that notch
like
in your belt.
I made it now. All right,
so do you talk solutions at all either, too? Because we've been doing a lot of that lately. We had Tony Merkel from The Confessionals come on the other day, and we basically sat there and talked about, like, homesteading for an hour and a half. And
so we can. I would absolutely love to. Again, this is only the second episode. First one was with Bob and Drew Misson from You're Missing the Point.
Oh, nice.
So we didn't really get into solutions per se, but I would absolutely love to if you guys have them.
We just have little ways to break out a little bit. So we got chickens, which we talk about all the time, but we had five chickens at one point. We have four chickens now. Technically, just found out today, one is a rooster, and we live in city limits, so we cannot keep it. yeah, fantastic. So we also planted a huge garden in our yard. We took a giant chunk of our backyard and built a structure and planted tons of herbs and tons of vegetables. And we get tons of tomatoes every day. We get zucchini every day. We get basil, sage. We have all of our herbs. I've been like processing those, so we don't have to buy them anymore. We have watermelons. I might have already said that one. Just little things that people can do. They can take a chunk of their backyard that they're not using And
or better yet, use your whole yard
garden.
Yeah, like, tear up all your grass. That's not doing shit for you, and unless it's your dog's toilet, like it is for us. But if you have the room and you have a bunch of lawn, just rototill that shit up and plant food. It's not, you're probably not going to be able to live off of whatever you grow. Maybe at some point you could if you're doing that permaculture shit, you know, with the food forest thing. And if you get it figured out and you have a decently green thumb, you can probably figure out how to live off it pretty well. But at least cut down some of the produce, you know, that you're having to buy from the store, because it's going to be way better for you to grow it anyway. But our main thing is just starting out slow. And it sucks for people that live in an apartment in New York City. I get it. But there are ways to grow food indoors. You can look it up. There's little things you can do no matter where you live to kind of and it's not so much like getting off the grid or breaking the matrix or anything. It's more like breaking the mental matrix. And that's what helps people do that, is to start doing little things that help them be more self-sufficient on their own. So, and it's a mental thing. It's not so much like, oh, we have this garden, so now we're, you know, a homestead or something. No, it's not like that. We have fucking three chickens. Well, we had four.
It provides inspiration to twist it into a positive note. It provides inspiration to grow it bigger. So we started with a few chickens.
I'm saying it's a mental thing. It's breaking out mentally.
Well, yeah, you can start with a little garden and then maybe you can be inspired and grow bigger, where it's not about starting and doing, you know, growing all of your food all at once right away. You just have to start small and then keep expanding it. But
it's also understanding you don't have to grow everything, right? Like, you can grow certain things, find somebody else who grows something that you're not, and trade with them. You know, I got a buddy who, he's in an apartment, and he's like, I can't do chickens. I can't. You know what you can do? You can do herbs. You can do spices. The things that I hate to
do grow, lettuce.
The things that I hate to grow, and I'll trade you my eggs for them. Or I'll trade you, you know, when we slaughter a pig or a cow or, you know, or whatever, I will trade you for the stuff that I don't have. Like,
yeah, so, and that's such a foreign concept to people. I mean, now everything, cash is king. So people can't wrap their heads around that. I have trouble wrapping my head around that. I don't know if enough people that would be willing to do that. No, a couple, but it would take a massive shift in people's thinking to actually go to that. That's how you really get out of the system, is you fuck cash. I'm not paying you for anything. We're all just going to barter and do it. That sounds glorious. I would love to do that. I wouldn't have much to offer besides like eggs, but I mean, we'll figure it out. Would you like a piece of grass? Because I have a lot of that.
You know what? I can come hang pictures for you, though. I can move furniture. I can do, you know, I got a truck. You can, you know, you need to go to the dump. I mean, there's lots of things. Like you said, that you just have to break free from that matrix that's holding your mind more than anything else.
Yeah, I think it's daunting to people because it seems like so much. It seems like a lot. Like, but you don't have to switch your whole life in one day. We're definitely not. I still have the internet. I have a phone. And we have cool shit we like to play with. It's not like that. It's just, like I said, it's more of a mental transition out of that way of thinking and that, like, I don't know. It's like Bob Marley, free your mind, you know?
Well, and with that, too, people have to, I think people go from one extreme to the other. Like, from the, if I'm going to do this, it's got to look like it does at the feed store or in this magazine that I looked at that's got, you know, a $10,000 chicken coop, and versus, like, you come to my property, there's things laying all over the place, because it's like, I'm going to use this one day. One of these days I'm going to need this. So it's going to lay right here until I do.
Oh, our chicken area looks like shit. I mean, it looks like what you'd imagine a chicken area looks like. Just poop everywhere. Half the shit's homemade, and it's just, but they love it. They live there and they pop eggs out every day. Functional. So, hey. Yes.
Functional.
Well, I think you guys hit on a really important point with the whole getting out of the mental matrix. It's hard to talk about this without it sounding like just making another religion. You got to do something mentally or spiritually first, and then the actions follow, or doing the actions without actually getting to the mental state. But it's like, I think that that's probably the biggest thing for everybody, is mentally understanding that we're all getting played in some way or another. Something's getting shoved down our throat, and you go, one of these things does not belong here, or a lot of them don't belong here. And you finally understand that it's like, you know, I think I need to do what's best for my family. And fuck the government, fuck whoever. It doesn't matter who it is. And I think that that energy is fucking building a lot with a lot of people, like more than I think we've seen it in probably multiple generations. Instead of just going with the flow, we have, like you said, this ability to gain information like they didn't have even in the 70s and stuff. I think a lot of people are waking up. We also have a massive population, if you believe the consensuses. It's like, I think that that energy is really growing to be like, you know what? I don't think we're being told the truth about most of this. And I think that that's probably the most important thing, because I think that the more that people do that, the more it's going to manifest the direction that we need to go in to actually break out of whatever matrix, however you deem that word. I think that that's really important, is that mental, getting out of that mentality of what we've just been told and crammed down our throat in education and everything else.
The problem with that, though, is we're 1 to 2 generations removed from the people who know really how to do the things.
True. So, that's true.
Which is just common knowledge.
Go find the young person at Home Depot or Lowe's, though, and ask them how to do something. And you're not going to get an answer that's going to tell you how to get done what you need to get done. Find the 70, 80-year-old guy who's working at Lowe's. And they may not have exactly what you're looking for, but he'll tell you exactly how to get it done.
We'll be right back after this quick ad break, so get the skip button ready. But if it doesn't play, well, lucky you.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs, so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Yeah. And just like little things, like I've been trying little things here and there just to get the skill, not because I think the apocalypse is going to happen and my little sprout jar is going to save me, but it's just kind of a fun thing to do. Like learn how to sprout little sprouting seeds. And if nothing else, it's chicken food. So in like 3 to 4 days, you have a whole jar of chicken food, or, you know, whatever, little things like that, or canning or pickling. And I've just been doing it here and there just to kind of get it down, you know, and now I can pretty much pickle stuff without a recipe or a phone or anything, which is great.
Like saving seeds out of we bought some organic seeds from, what was it, Neighbor's Feed and Seed. And when the plants grew, we saved the seeds out of those and harvested those and dried them so we can plant them again next year.
Because they're all non-GMO seeds, like heirloom seeds. So you want to keep that shit. You don't just throw away your bell pepper seeds. You keep that shit and dry it and use it for next year. Then what do you have? More peppers.
More peppers.
It's brilliant.
It's like it was almost made to be that way or something.
Yeah, it's like it's a system or something, right. Almost like a design or, you know, something.
It must not just be evolution. Real, though, because they didn't teach it to me in school. So,
dude, that's a whole other. You want to rant about the education system for a minute? They teach you nothing that you need.
Yeah, no life skills at all. They just teach you to follow along and do whatever they're telling you to do.
Well, now they're barely even teaching math. I mean, 2 + 2 = 5. And if you don't believe that, you're a racist. So,
and only like 130 years ago, they were still fucking teaching flat earth in schools. So technically, we've only been teaching that for like less than 2 centuries.
And when did that change? The Rockefellers. Hey, I know we're not trying to point fingers at certain names, but that is a thing that happened.
See, this is where I need to have a scroll that goes across that says that the opinions here may not necessarily reflect the opinions of the show host.
Do you disagree?
Conspiracy.
No, not at all. I just don't want to knock on my door in the middle of the night.
Oh, can you imagine that knock? Hey, are you John the Fed? Oh, fuck.
never mind. Wrong guy.
Maybe.
To be clear, you aren't actually involved in the government, right?
No, I'm not. No, I'm not.
I was actually hoping you were, because I'm like, dude, this guy knows what's up. We need more feds like this.
Yeah.
If you were a Fed, that'd be awesome.
Maybe, you know what? I'll send my application in as soon as we're done with this. I'll go CIA, FBI, DEA, you know, whoever will take me. So
do it.
There's no way they're going to take one look at your social media or the fact that you have chickens and be like, nah, not this guy.
Right.
He is not one of us.
I think, Joe, you're actually onto something with that. Is I think that they are actually monitoring levels of self-sufficiency now as targets. Like, I think that
there was a couple years ago when people really started getting into like chickens or gardens, right. They were basically saying that was like terrorist activity or extremist activity. To have a garden and chickens, it was extremist activity, and they lumped that in with like MAGA alt-right things for some reason. And that I wasn't really worried about it. I was worried about that as the 88,000 new IRS agents. Like, okay, whatever.
Do you remember the articles that came out a couple years ago? I don't know if you heard these too, but they were talking about the air quality. God, what was it? They were saying that you shouldn't plant in your backyard because the air quality will produce food that's poison for you and bad for you. They were basically discouraging growing food in your backyard. It was around 2020 or 2021.
Yeah. I remember you bringing that up, actually.
So what is the alternative, FDA?
I'm in Texas, originally from California, but I'm in Texas now. And we have just started seeing the past, I don't know, 6 months, 4 months, new sheriff trucks that are in the livestock division of the sheriff agency. So they're monitoring people's livestock and what they have and all that kind of stuff out here now.
That's, I mean, it's already kind of dog shit like we were talking about earlier, where we can't have a rooster in city limits, which I get because they're goddamn annoying.
It's
get that.
Really loud. I mean, we live right next. Our neighbors are right next to us. It sucks. I would feel terrible. I mean, I would be pissed if someone had a rooster and lived next to
me. I mean, I was actually pissed at my own rooster back when we had it. I kept calling him Sandwich because I was just going to go out there one day and end him.
But do you have roosters? Because they crow like morning, noon, and night, and they crow every three seconds or something.
All day.
They also let you know when they got laid. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, they'll do their business, and then they'll just crow real quick.
Like a true cock.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah, no, we've got four roosters, I think, but we've got, I don't know, 40 something chickens as well. So
wow.
I would love to do that because it kind of becomes its own ecosystem. The guy that we got the chickens from has a whole setup where it's just a self-sustaining circle that just goes. Yep. The chickens fuck the hens. They rape the fuck out of them. They don't make love to these chickens. These chickens.
It's very brutal.
Yeah. But they get their, I mean, the eggs, he just finds eggs here and there that just hatch. They just hatch everywhere. And he's like, oh, new chicks, puts them in a little cage, keeps them warm. Then they grow up to fuck the other chickens. They're all inbred and stuff. But I mean,
as long as the eggs work and taste good. But I mean, that's the thing though, is that, you know, it's like a 3 or 4 year cycle, you know, after 3 or 4 years of laying eggs, you kind of put the other ones out to, you know, become barbecue chicken or whatever and bring the new ones in and, you know, just keep it going. So
yeah, I thought chickens lived a lot longer. I thought they lived for like 10 years and apparently they only live for like 6 to 8 years at most.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
they dry up after about five. They stop laying eggs after about five.
We're going to have to get chicks from Tractor Supply or something. Every time we get chickens from his friend, one turns out to be a rooster.
Yeah, because he doesn't sex them because he doesn't know because he has his own little ecosystem. Whatever happens, happens. So he just picks up two and goes, here you go for free. And then, 50% of the time we've got chickens from him, one has been.
Want to know a trick to try to find out if it's a rooster or not? I'll tell you real quick. So it works for me about 90% of the time. It's not foolproof, but you basically pick a chicken up by kind of like its head or its neck, or you pick it up, you hold it, but you put its head kind of in between your fingers like this and let it dangle. Just kind of hold it real soft, let it dangle. Kind of if it fights you, it's a rooster. If it just kind of nonchalantly lays there, it more than likely is going to be a hen.
Huh. At what age? Like when they're juvenile
chicks,
or
not when they're chicks, just born. When they're just born.
Because I know there's a way to do it. There's some way that the, you know, big ag does that, but I don't know if they're using
a microscope. It works about 90% of the time. There's been times where I've gotten roosters out of the deal, but for the most part, it's always been chickens.
Okay, cool. But we don't get them. So when we get them from his friend, they're already, you know, 6 to 8 weeks old.
Yeah.
So it's real hard to tell at that point.
That's true.
Yeah, they all look the same.
Yep.
Until they start crowing, and then you're like, fuck. Right.
It was super funny the way I found out. I was looking at pictures just today on my phone of this. It's a Wyandotte. I don't know if I'm saying that right. It's a all black and white speckled.
Yeah.
And really pretty. And I thought, wow, the neck feathers were really spiky and pointed. And the chicken kept fluffing and being kind of aggressive and then chasing the other hen that we got from his friend around the coop area. And I thought, that's really roostery behavior. This chicken's name is Matilda, by the way, because we thought it was a girl.
Not anymore.
So
now it's Henry.
I'm looking at pictures on my phone. I'm like,
don't name your animals. You can't eat them if you name them.
Well, we're not going to eat them. We don't eat them. But yeah. So as I'm looking at it, I said, you know what? Nah, it's not. You're a hen. You're going to lay big, beautiful eggs. And I left the coop. And as soon as I put my leg over the fence, it crowed at me. And then it kept crowing over and over for the first time. We've never heard it crow.
It was like, fuck you, bitch.
It was like, I am a he, him. You will address me as such.
That's funny. That's funny.
Used the wrong pronouns and dead named the bird. And it was pissed.
Oh, mother.
So solutions. What else you got?
Well, stop worrying about what everybody thinks of you. I think that's part of the reason that we got to the place that we're at. Is where everybody is so goddamn worried about what everyone else thinks of them.
Oh, but you don't understand. I've been that way since like kindergarten because I got to make sure I have the right shoes, the right backpack, the right clothes, the right hat, the right haircut, the right sunglasses. I mean, all that. I've been trained since, you know, birth to compare myself to everybody else.
Well, yeah, it drives commercialism. It helps profits a lot to do that with people. So, yeah, that one, Ben, you were about to say one. What were you going to go for?
Well, I mean, when it comes to solutions, I got like big solutions, but it starts at a micro level. So, I mean,
ends with a guillotine.
Hopefully.
Is it sharp? I mean,
per person, yeah, it takes opening your mind enough to be able to entertain things that are out of the box from everything that we've been told. I think that not caring about what people think, like if you think something or you want to learn something, do it. Don't give a shit what anybody says about what it is that you're trying to learn. If you learn more, I guarantee no matter what you're trying to learn, you will find out, oh my God, I did not know that either we did these things or I could learn this. And you're going to get to a place where you're like, what else am I not being told? I think that is a great place to be in. The ability to say, you know what? I don't know. And I think that we lost that. Everybody's a fucking know-it-all. I think that just being able to get to a point where you go, I don't have the answers, is a brilliant spot to be to get you started on your own path.
Well, you know why everybody's a fucking know-it-all? Is because everybody's got a smartphone and that is their brain now. If you catch a teenager without their phone, they're the most retarded creatures you've ever seen. They can't do shit. They can't make a sandwich without looking it up on Google. I'm not even shitting you. It's actually very terrifying because if the internet ever goes down, there's going to be a lot of people just on the side of the road walking around like, duh, wait, what? How do I get home? I no have phone. How do I get home? Kind of going along with what you said about not giving a shit about what people think. I've found lately a good solution is not paying attention to shit that's going on in the world. Focus on your own life, your own community. It is great. I told a couple people, or probably mentioned on the show too, that I've kind of checked out of most politics. I mean, besides whatever comes across social media that people want to share with me, which is great. Thank you for keeping me in the loop about the cocaine in the White House. That's very, very funny. I love it. But other than that, like I've been listening to just audio drama podcasts during the day at work instead of listening to political or whatever shows. I'm out of the loop on that shit and it has been amazing. And as far as like, you know, any TV shows, it's just, anything that gets me out of the mindset of whatever we're doing that day, like a sci-fi show or Beavis and Butthead or just anything like that. It is freeing as fuck, because then somebody comes up and, oh my God, you hear what happened in France today? You read it? I'm like, nope, don't care. Fuck the French. First of all, I can say that because I'm French.
They make good fries, though.
Actually, nah, motherfucker. Another freedom fries.
Freedom fries, bitch. Yeah, what do you think about that, though, John? What's your take on solutions? It sounds like you already are well on your way, so.
I think it's just dial back and do what you can in your immediate circle, you know, more than anything else. When we moved from California about 12 years ago out here to Texas, you know, California was one of those, I could reach out, touch my neighbor's house, you know, from our bedroom window, basically. You know, it was wall, 3 feet, fence, 3 feet, their wall kind of thing, you know. And it was, so moved out here and got it, you know, we're lucky enough to have a little bit of land. And that's what it was just, you know, it started off more of just like, okay, I can't surf out here anymore because I'm landlocked. So what can I do? All right, let's get some chickens. Let's get, you know, so we started doing that. And then just kind of start, you know, little by little, just started making, you know, making ways of like, the big thing now is like, just, I went to the store, I do most of the grocery shopping for us, and I make my own bread now, because I started paying $4 or $5 for a loaf of bread. I'm like, for $3, I can get 6 loaves of bread out of this thing of flour. So, you know, and it's just being able to look at things like that, you know, and being able to realize what you're good at, what you're not. Can you learn it? If not, can you find somebody else who is good at it? And along with that, though, somebody told me a long time ago, and I want to say this is actually from, if you're familiar with Crow 777,
yeah,
and this is one of his sayings, and if not, it's definitely somebody else. But they said, "Don't ever hold on to anything so tightly that if you find out it's false, that it wrecks your, that it completely wrecks you," sort of thing. And I think that is where we also need to get as well. We need to be okay with being wrong. We need to be okay with not having all the answers, and we need to be okay with believing that we're right. But if something new comes across our, you know, our path, to be able to, you know, to deal with it and to be able to look into it in an okay way, rather than just shouting at people that they're stupid.
Yeah. And I mean, that's a pretty Buddhist mentality too. We talk about that a lot, the non-attachment principle, and you're just not in it. I'm always careful to make it clear that that doesn't mean you don't give a shit about it or something. Right. It's just not letting it affect you or your reaction to it or whatever. Like, it's just there, and then it's not there anymore, and then that's it.
Yeah, and you learn what matters and what doesn't matter, and hang on to the things that do matter, and the things that don't, or that you can't change. Just let it go, because it's only going to get you. You know, and that's one of the things too. So one of the big things that we've done out here in the past, I don't know, like 8 months or so, is we started beekeeping.
Awesome!
You know, and so seeing everything that goes along with that, like even just, you know, I had a real bad twisted ankle. Like it got a purple on me within minutes. And a buddy of mine was like, "Dude, you got bees? Go sit by them, put your foot on there, see what the vibration does." And literally the next day, my foot was almost like 90% healed. The purple was gone. Like, I could walk on it. And it's just, there's something about, you know, the vibration that bees have. They say beekeepers have the highest life expectancy out of anybody in the world. Because something about the vibration that works with them, that it's got some sort of healing factor in it. So
don't they say that it's kind of like defies physics that bees can fly anyway? Like, there's something about it.
They did an experiment a couple years ago where they took wings off of a bumblebee, or maybe it was a honeybee, some kind of bee, and put it in a petri dish, and the bee started levitating without its wings because of the vibration. It vibrates itself so much. So they figured out it's not the wings that make it fly, it's its vibrations, and the wings just kind of push it in the way that it's going to go.
Oh, so they're more like tail rudders or something.
It's like a rudder on their back, basically. But yeah, it's all vibration and frequency based with them more than anything else.
That's wild. Well, you hear that story about like the bees that I think it was honeybees or something that killed a hornet, by just gathering around it, and it's like 1 degree hotter or some shit, and they just all vibrate around it, and it literally cooks the wasp.
Well, yeah, if you watch the video, like the bees were getting torn up by that wasp or whatever, the hornet, whatever it was.
Oh, yeah.
The queen got in the middle of them, and basically, from what I understand, she basically gave them a different order as to what to do to vibrate differently or whatever. And yeah, they got right around that wasp or that hornet or whatever it was and just cooked it.
Yeah. Nuts. It's a crazy video. Yeah, I wanted to get a beehive. We live in a weird place for it, though.
We could do it.
I think we could if we put it in the back of our property.
There's groups out there that they'll come and they will basically tell you if you can do it or not, and you can raise their bees for them. And all that they want to do is come out and grab the honey for it, and they'll basically pay you to take care of their bees if you have those.
Oh, that's cool.
Will they pay me in honey? Because that's what I want to be paid in.
Part of a Reading group, though. They
will pay you in honey, or they'll pay you in cash. So they'll pay in trade or they'll pay in cash.
Interesting. And there's ways to do it without having to blow smoke at them too, isn't there? Yes. Can't you just like kind of meditate before you go in? I want to look into that, because that's another great skill that, I mean, if you're in the wild, you should probably learn that too. I always think about it worst case scenario, but with modern convenience, you know, like you're talking about learning how to make bread. I've made bread for quite a long time because I was always interested in cooking as a kid, and I made bread back then. But yeah, when you're talking about the price of that, though, I bought a 20 pound bag of flour for like $9.
Yeah.
And then like a 3 pound bag of yeast for $15.
Yep.
And I could make so many loaves of bread out of that. And really, it's just yeast and flour and water if you want to get real basic. Yeah, maybe a little oil or butter and some salt. But other than that, that's fucking it.
The only thing I put in that's different in mine is I use apple cider vinegar, just because it makes the dough a little bit thinner. So it makes it more like sandwich bread than like a real dense kind of dough. But yeah, other than that, and then I cook it over. I put it in a cast iron skillet and just put it over an open flame.
That's so funny. I was just going to mention that, is cooking it old school over a fire. Like even if it's just your barbecue or whatever, you can bake shit in your barbecue. Yeah. You can bake whatever you want in there. Yeah, yeah. That's interesting.
Well, and you know, we had that out here in Texas, we had that snowstorm, I don't know, a couple years ago, where it like the power shut off, like everybody didn't know what to do for a week. You know, you guys probably in Northern California just laughed at everybody with the snow.
No, we got snowed in too.
We never get snow.
We got snowed in like 3 times this year.
Never. It was crazy. We don't live in the mountains or anything. We live in like the Reading area, which it literally never snows. So it snowed here this year, and some people lost power for days because the trees don't grow to their branches to withstand the weight of snow.
Yep. That's the way it was here too. And so power was out for a lot of people. And I was like, you know what? This is the time when all this stuff I bought to be able to make it in a time like this. Now is the time I'm going to see if I can actually do it. So
how'd it go?
And I'm still here. So
nice.
Do you get a generator?
I do. I have a couple different ones. So, and one of those whole home systems.
That pop on automatically.
Yeah,
nice. I would love to have that. We don't lose power enough to invest in that kind of money. It would be great for an apocalyptic scenario, as long as you can find gas or diesel, you know. But we do have a generator that will run the basic stuff, so we have emergency stuff. And I know a lot of people think that it's kind of a scam or whatever, but we got solar last year, and that helped tremendously, not only with the power bill, but with and it won't power our house. Like
it was supposed to.
Well, yeah, kind of. If it was sunny on that day and we lost power,
the power you guys get from your panels, do you get to keep it yourself, or does it go into like a one big co-op that everybody draws from?
It just feeds back into the grid and basically makes our meter run backwards. So at the end of the year, it's looking right now, we're going to get actually money back from our power company at the end of the year. And our power bill for the solar has stayed at a constant all year, saving at least hundreds of dollars.
There you go.
It was a great, for our situation, it was a great deal. And we live in one of the sunniest places on earth. So it actually makes sense to get solar here.
True.
But that's not a very good survival or, you know, emergency thing. It's more for daily use, but
you got to survive every day though. You got to survive in this world every day. So,
and just start doing little things, you know, solutions. It's the biggest thing we've talked about lately, is just start small, just do little things, break your mind out first. That's the first thing. You get out in the garden, stick your feet in the dirt, and just start doing stuff. You don't even have to grow anything. Just start digging around and like fucking around with your dirt.
Go to a Goodwill, buy a gardening book or a book on, you know, the Home Depot 1-2-3 book on how to fix things inside your house.
Listen to a gardening podcast. If you're listening to the podcast right now, there's so much shit out there you can learn from podcasts. Not all of it's true. That
electroculture, whatever they're calling it now, where they're basically sticking a wooden dowel wrapped in copper wire and getting a harvest that is like 10 times what they normally get.
We did that this year.
We have three of those in our garden. It's insane. Our garden's crazy right now.
So it's working for you guys?
Yeah, we have a cherry tomato tree that looks like an oak tree. It's like taller than me and it's branching out, going crazy. I planted way too much in the planter boxes because I thought everything would grow small because it gets really hot here. It gets like triple digits. So plants don't grow huge.
Yeah.
And they are huge. I planted a pumpkin seed and we're actually growing a pumpkin already. It vined all over the chicken wire on the fence and it's breaking the fence now because of all the leaves. They're like climbing all over it. Yeah.
Yeah. You'd not believe the amount of tomatoes. It's why, like, we've never seen that many here. It's unbelievable. And I would like to attribute it.
Instagram or something.
Yeah. I'll have to. I would love to, like, you know, attribute it to the copper pipes in the ground, but it's also because the plants are actually in the ground this year.
Right.
And I think that makes a big difference too. But it's also been way different every year as far as rainfall and the temperature and all that. So I think it's everything kind of coalescing into this, but I'll take it because we have a shitload of tomatoes and it's awesome.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, that's my plan for our fall garden and our winter garden is to try that electroculture stuff and see what happens. So
yeah, it's worth a shot. Why not?
Yeah. Well, again, it's one of those things of it may work. And if so, great. And maybe that's just one of the things that has just been hidden, the knowledge that has been hidden, you know, even with stuff like that, just how to grow your own food and the right way to do it.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of that, where do you think that's going with the UFO alien thing? Cause that's another one of those things where I'm like, ah, okay, whatever.
So I think they're something. I don't think that they're from, you know, Mars, or I would be more comfortable saying that they're some sort of interdimensional being than somebody that's from something that's from outer space, some sort of gray alien that, you know, traveled 20,000 light years to get here. I don't believe in that, but interdimensional or some sort of demonic, but not maybe the church definition of demonic, but something a little different. That's where I would kind of lean more towards. Or it's just a distraction to keep us from looking at something else. It's one or the other.
So there definitely is something going on. There's something that people are seeing in the skies that they can't identify. That's why it's called a UFO. It doesn't have to mean alien, but there is something going on. There's definitely craft out there that we, as the general public, don't know how it works. I think a lot of it's military, especially in the last like 40 years. I think a good majority of sightings are. And I don't know what to make of like the abduction stories. That could be military as well. I mean, using drugs or scopolamine or, you know, whatever. So I don't know what to think of it either. I just think it's funny that it's now coming out so much. That's what makes me suspicious of the whole thing, is that it's so out there right now, so in your face and so pushed down your throat that it's,
you know,
like,
what though, in the podcast community, we do the same thing though, right? Like Tartaria caught steam for a couple months, mud floods, you know, and, you know, there's certain keywords that, you know, not everybody in this, you know, I'll keep you guys separate from this as well, but there's keywords that podcasters will hear and then they will use it for 3 or 4 months to try to get, you know, listeners or whatever else to their show because it's just the hot topic of the day.
So I kind of had that conversation with Ryan from Dangerous World too, and I'm like, I think a lot of that actually is just the age we live in, and with social media, it's just what happens, like especially with podcasting, is because I'll listen to a show like what that guy was talking about and immediately hit him up and be like, I want to talk to that guy too. That sounds amazing. And then it just kind of like spirals from there. And everybody that listens who has a show is also like, oh, that sounds great. You know,
I'm not necessarily talking about those same concepts or using those words to promote our show. Talking to the same person is totally fine. But we're not like
talking about and the Tartaria thing did have all the time. Did have a time there, but I still think it's interesting because it kind of made people think about the weird alternative history. It doesn't have to be Tartaria. Like I don't really buy into that or the mud flood thing. It's interesting to talk about, but it did make people look a little closer at things like the World's Fairs and all these weird things that don't make sense, like the orphan trains and just getting eyeballs on the weird history, I think is cool. You don't have to believe in Tartaria or whatever the fuck that is.
No, and I don't, you know, I'm not saying everybody did that or anything like that. I'm just saying, you know, like the UFO thing caught steam real quick and it just happened. And in the podcast community, we seem to do that with certain things as well. And it may be like, oh, that's a neat idea. I want to get on that. Or it's just, well, if everybody else is talking about this, I guess I better start talking about this as well. I have no clue what it is. You know, but I'll start talking about it and then kind of see, you know, but going back to what you were talking about with aliens, I think one of the key words they use though is extraterrestrial. So it almost makes me wonder, you know, they talk about something being beyond the ice wall or, you know, Admiral Byrd talking about in his Moss diary or whatever, that there's a whole group of other people across that ice wall, you know, and I heard somebody say, for all they know, and for all I know too, that this realm or whatever shaped like a golf ball, right? It's just little divots separated by a wall. And so for all we know, that's what these aliens are, that are, they're just in another divot on another part of this realm that are just kind of coming over here because they can.
But well, yeah. Did you see that thing that went around for a while too? It's Nos Confunden on Instagram. And he has this map that he made. It's like, I think it's hand drawn or something, but it's this map of like all the different worlds, and it's a really interesting way to picture it. And it shows the Earth is kind of in the middle, but then you have Mars over here, but it's just a different realm that's accessible. You know, you have to look up the Nos Confunden map, whoever wants to look at it. And there's a lot of people ragging on it, like, oh, where's he getting this information? I think he's just showing what he thinks about it. I don't think he's like, this is what's true. He's just like, this is how I picture it. And it's a really interesting map, but it could be, who knows. Then there's Andy, I think, that thinks all the planets or the suns from all the different worlds that are, you know, beyond the ice wall or something.
Haven't heard that.
There's a million cool ways idea. You can think about it.
Yeah, I haven't heard that before, but that could make a lot of sense.
I just don't think it's gonna go away. So since the news is talking about it, we all know how the news does things. They're not just going to be like, well, we've solved the problem, guys. No more aliens. It's just going to be something that's constantly in the news, and it's going to ramp up and up and up and up until something happens. I'm not saying that thing will be the worst thing in the world, but I don't think they're just going to be like, and we don't talk about this anymore. I don't think they can do that with the amount of people that are watching the news and paying attention to how they're seeding little stories about UFOs or disclosure, whatever. I just don't think that it's going to go anywhere.
They'll probably just have a CNN video of a weird ass alien shaking hands with Biden and be like, we have made peace. You can go back to your lives now. And all right. How about that submarine? You know, you stuff like that.
Biden how to ride a bike.
Yeah, it's just fun, though. I like looking at the political stuff just because it's so amusing to me, especially after Biden got in. It was like, this guy is endless treasure trove of sound drops and like funny videos.
Yeah. No, I like looking at I try to look at these things from a backwards version, I guess, of coming out of the church sort of thing, because when we look at aliens, well, the church I grew up in, at least, aliens didn't exist. Aliens weren't real. They never were real, whatever. It seemed to be a little bit more real now, so I know what the church as a whole is probably going to say, you know, whatever. But I kind of try to look at it. So if I look at the Bible as more of a playbook rather than prophecy sort of thing, you know, I could definitely see the aliens coming down and, you know, people quote-unquote disappearing and then some alien or somebody being our savior or what the Bible calls the Antichrist or whatever. You know, I can definitely see something like that happening. But again, I see it more of the Bible being a, hey, this is what we're going to do sort of thing versus, you know, hey, we dreamt this 3,000 years ago and this is what's going to happen someday.
Yeah. I like that idea. That's a guidebook for what's playing. Yeah. Like you said, not really prophecy. It's not somebody saw the future. It's more like, here's what you do. And in order to make that happen, you do these things like, you know, eat children or whatever they're doing. Who fucking knows?
Well, it's, you know, if I said, hey, I'm going to go to Baskin Robbins this week, and then later in the week I go to Baskin Robbins, I did not prophesy that I was going to go to Baskin Robbins, right? Like, my plan was I'm going to Baskin Robbins, and I knew that the plan was I'm going to Baskin Robbins. So,
yeah.
To you, it may have been like, man, look at him. He knew he was going to Baskin Robbins.
Psychic.
Yeah.
He knew what he was doing already. That's crazy.
Well, I don't really have anything else unless y'all do. Really?
No, I think we covered some good shit.
Yeah, we probably wrap up in an hour. So I guess just let people know real quick again kind of where they can find you.
Any audio podcast, Rockfin, we do some stuff on YouTube and Telegram, Instagram. You just Google Legit Bat or search on any of those platforms and we should pop up. Unless we're very shadow banned, it should
we
pop up.
We are on Instagram. What is it? Legit Bat?
It's just at Legit Bat on Instagram. And the amount of engagement we've had, I'm pretty sure we're getting knocked down a couple pegs, but that's fine. We just post stupid memes anyway, so it's no big deal. And for our listeners, because we're going to put this out on our show too, where can they find you and all your stuff?
Sure. So to be on all the podcatchers that are out there, you know, iTunes, Spotify, whatever, it's called How the Hell Did We Wind Up Here? And basically that's what it's about. It's taking a look at the world today and just kind of figuring out, you know, where it all went kind of screwy. Where did we give our freedoms up? Where did we get lied to? You know, or well, which of the lies did we get lied to at this point in time? Because, you know, there's a bunch.
Pick one.
Yeah, pick one. Exactly. And then, you know, just try to figure out what can we do to get, you know, to get through it. Because, you know, you're in California, I'm in Texas, other people may be in New York or Hawaii or Australia or whatever, but it's still a community of some sort. So, you know, we definitely all could use more of the support from each other versus the backbiting and the, you know, the name calling and, you know, being okay with not being an expert on a topic would be nice. So
yeah, no, you've got a great start just talking to people and just
letting the conversation flow. That's how you should live life.
That's right. So one thing I did want to ask real quick before, and Ben, this goes for you too, so you're gonna have to get off mute, but just real quick, just tell people kind of how you guys got into the podcast game, you know, because like I said, this is my second episode, so trying to get into the podcast world seems like this big daunting task. You know, and it's like, well, who's going to want to listen to you? My wife doesn't want to listen to me, you know, so why are people going to listen to me?
That's not surprising. No, it's actually not that difficult. I mean, especially now, you don't even have to buy a mic. You can use your iPhone or your, you know, whatever earbuds with the microphone. Those actually sound pretty good. And you go to redcircle.com and you can set up an account there for free and you record some shit. Put it out there and who cares who listens, just do it. Just that's all you have to do. I told Chance, shout out Chance is a ghost in our Telegram. He was talking about that too. And how he's like, I need to start one. I'm like, dude, you just hit record on your phone. You don't even have to have anything. You just hit record on the voice memos on your phone and just start talking. Who cares? Like what's the worst that can happen? Somebody going to comment you to death about it? Fuck them. It does get more complicated as you go on. As you can see, we have quite a bit more shit than we started with, but it's over several years now. So yeah, to start out, just start talking. That's pretty much it.
So what was
That's
your
all aha, Ben does.
What was your aha moment to get started?
I don't even know.
Joe came home one day and was like, I want to start a podcast.
Well, I had the mics for like a year before too, and they're just sitting around. I'm like, okay, God damn it. Let's just do this. I was like, we'll do a Zoom call with Ben and just start talking and see what happens. And the first few episodes were rough, but that's okay. They're there for posterity so that we can see where we've come from.
Fun though, your idea was we wanted to do it like a fireside chat type. We all used to live together. So we wanted to have it so that we'd all sit around our fire pit and just talk for hours and hours and drink and do whatever and have fun. And we wanted to do it just like that in the beginning, but now it's more refined and cultured and we've you know,
it's quite refined.
No, I'm just kidding, but you know, we don't just sit around and smoke cigarettes and drink beers. I mean, we kind of drink a little bit after the show, but we don't do the show wasted anymore.
Well, I mean, the funny part is that we still do exactly that when we're not podcasting. So, like, the idea was that there were conversations that the three of us would have that either, one, we had never had with anybody else, or two, we wouldn't want to fucking have with anybody else because it's annoying. But that's kind of where it started, was just the idea of, like, you know what? We talk about some crazy shit that I would not ever talk about with a fucking coworker. So we should, like, just kind of, like, catalog this. And it was,
people need to hear this.
I think a big part of it is that we weren't doing it to get followers and, like, really, like, make anything big out of it. We just wanted to do it to do it. Like, I had a Turtle Beach headset and I had a blanket hanging up behind me when we first started doing it. And it was the worst sounding shit, but it was hilarious because we didn't know what the fuck we were doing. It was about anything. We didn't give a shit. And yeah, it's just like Joe said, it's kind of morphed into this whole thing that we didn't really see coming. It's just is kind of how it naturally has gone. But yeah,
I think it's cool too, because it's kind of, I've said before, it's kind of like a weird little, like, time capsule for our kids. If they ever for some reason want to hear their parents talk more, they'll have, like, you know, when they're like 40 or something, they'll be like, oh yeah, our parents did this stupid fucking podcast, and they have thousands of hours worth of us talking about weird shit. So it's kind of they'll probably listen to it after we're dead, but, you know, at least they'll have it.
And yeah, I would say as a
write about a bunch of stuff too, and I don't know if kids will do that.
I think they will eventually. They're going to be forced
throwing horns from the grave. Fuck yeah, I told you.
To anyone out there who wants to start a podcast, don't get discouraged if you don't have the listener base that you want. Don't think about the listener base, first of all. We never did. And it just grew eventually. Your audience will find you. But if you want to have more listeners, reach out to more people. Get active in the community and start, you know, talking to other people. Ask them for suggestions. And people will listen.
They always say that, you know, the average podcast gives up after 7 episodes. I don't know why it's that number, but
an average.
We blew through like 27, and I was like, stopping. This is fun. I'm gonna keep doing this.
We had like 10 listeners or something, or maybe 25. I'm not sure. I remember when it got to 50, I was like, wow. Podcasters.
Or family.
Yeah.
Not so much family anymore.
To 50, and I'm like, wow, we have 50 listeners. And now what's our average? I don't even know. It's not even that much.
Dude.
But still, it's like 1,800 or something.
When we weren't doing the video and Joe was still uploading it to Anchor, and the first video hit 50 plays, and Joe sent me a screenshot and was like, dude, 50 retards wanted to fucking hear this shit. And I was like, that is actually mind-bending. I can't imagine standing up in front of 50 people, just the three of us, having a talk while they listen in the audience. I would be like, you guys have nothing better to do? Oh my god,
why are you here?
I'm pretty sure it's not my mom in her Sunday school class listening to the
yeah.
No, I sent Ben a screenshot at our first like 5,000 downloads and was like, dude, we can retire in luxury now, like, isn't that what happens?
The dream.
Yeah,
right. Nope. There.
not so much. Yeah, turns out,
yeah, we all have day jobs, we just do this for fun. That's a good mindset to have too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, dude, thanks for having us on. Appreciate it. And when do you plan on having this out? Because we don't want to step on your toes, so we'll put it out after
the next day or so.
Oh, okay. I was planning on Sundays.
If I can work on it tomorrow, I'll work on it tomorrow. I'll get you the file. If not, I'll get it to you Sunday.
Perfect. Nice. Sounds good.
So once I send it, it'll be ready to go. So you don't have to ask, can I publish this? So you'll be good.
Cool, right, cool. Cool deal.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you, guys. You guys have a good night.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye.